Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Denise Price first visited Boston as a tourist from Denver, Colorado, and like millions of other tourists, she was amazed to find the history she'd learned about in school right in front of her eyes, from the Boston Tea Party to the midnight ride of Paul Revere. And then she did something which no other tourist had done, as far as we know. She made a pop-up book about the Freedom Trail, which is in bookstores now. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, asked Denise Price what inspired her.
I traveled down the Freedom Trail like every other tourist and wanted to buy a pop-up book for my nieces and nephews back home. And so when I went to almost every boutique, I found out there wasn't one. And so when my husband accepted a job here and we moved here, I thought that it was such a shame that there wasn't one. So
I'm thinking you must be a children's book author, a pop-up book maker?
No, not at all. I just have loved paper since I was a little girl. And create my own greeting cards, and paper is just one of my loves. So,
but this isn't what you do for a living.
No, I actually am in real estate for a living. That's how I earn my money.
I'm only laughing because this is such an intricate pop-up book. I mean, when we first saw it, I just thought, wow, whoever was the paper engineer who designed the pop-ups really knew what they were doing, because there's some complicated stuff here. I mean, you have got some beautiful paper recreations that pop out of a book of the Golden Dome of the State House.
Well, paper engineering is something that you can't really get a degree in. It's self-taught. I learned a lot of the engineering from purchasing old pop-up books off of Amazon.com for like $1, $2 a piece because they were broken. And I took them apart to figure out how they made the paper pop off the page. I just cut out paper over and over again to figure out how to make it look like the historic buildings.
Okay, so I feel like we should describe to listeners exactly what you're talking about. Right inside the front cover, there is a pop-up of the State House, right? And so you might think, okay, so it's kind of a squarish brick building. Maybe that's not so hard to make a pop-up of. But it's the dome, the gold dome on top, which really blew my mind, because basically you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 papers that are dome sections. They intersect each other at various angles, and it makes the shape of a dome, but that also has to then fold flat, and it does. I mean, how long did it take you to get that to work?
The inspiration behind that was actually a wine crate. So sometimes when you buy a case of champagne or wine, it has the little paper sections in between so that the bottles don't hit together. But when you pull that out of the box, it folds in. So that's actually how I got the idea. And I thought, well, if I just trim the tops so that it looks like a dome, then maybe I can attach it to a page and have it fold flat into a book.
Huh. Did you drink a lot of wine while trying to make this? Because these are really complicated. So these pop-ups are really lovely. This isn't just like a simple, like a heart pops out of a page. You've got the King's Chapel. You also have a pop-up on this page of the Benjamin Franklin statue at the original Boston Latin School, the old State House, the USS Constitution, which is one of my favorite, including two jibs that pop out and fly in the wind. Did you work with people who are at each of these individual sites with experts on getting the replicas right?
I had worked very hard on the illustration to make sure that it was exact.
Right.
I wanted them to open them up and say, this is right. This is perfect. So I spent an insane amount of hours making sure that, for example, the colors of the windows in Paul Revere's house are actually correct.
You know, I have to say, I've walked the Freedom Trail many times. When I first moved here ages ago, it was one of the first things I did. It was a 98-degree day that day. I didn't choose a great day, but I did the whole thing. I thought I knew quite a lot about it, but in reading your pop-up book, there were sections which kind of came as a little surprise to me. Like, on many pages, I'm looking here at the Faneuil Hall page, there's a little pop-up about the weather vane on top of Faneuil Hall. And same thing on the Old North Church page,
yes.
Which, by the way, the spire of the church is beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
What made you want to spend some time educating people about little details like that, like weather vanes?
Well, when I walked the Freedom Trail for the first time and I noticed these beautiful pieces of jewelry sparkling on the top of these buildings, like Old North Church that you're looking at now, that has been up there since they built the building. Huh. And it's come down a few times to be restored and repaired.
Yeah, 1740 you have here.
To me, it was amazing to think about the history that those weather vanes had seen.
Should we give our listeners a bit of a pop quiz? Because we're talking about pop-up books. Okay, sure. Listeners, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think about this. What animal is on top of the weather vane at Faneuil Hall? Don't drive off the road when you're thinking about this. Okay. Denise, what's the answer?
It's actually a grasshopper.
Maybe if I said insect. Yeah. It would have been better. And why is it a grasshopper? Do we know?
The reason why it's a grasshopper is because off of the top of the Exchange in London, there was a grasshopper. The gentleman that built Faneuil Hall wanted it to be an exchange of commerce.
Wow. And it's been there since 1742.
Yes. And it has beautiful little green glass eyes that you would never know about unless you dove into the history.
Never. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that makes me wonder, in having to do something as technical and design-oriented as figuring out ways to make two-dimensional paper pop up into three-dimensional buildings, did it teach you anything new about the actual structures themselves on the Freedom Trail?
Absolutely. Right now you have Faneuil Hall open, and if you look at the different tiers of Faneuil Hall, you know, you have a Doric, Ionic, and Corinthian column. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of thought put into the building of these structures. Those are things that you just walk by probably every day and not notice.
And it's right in the middle of the city.
It is, yes. Beautifully preserved.
You said that you originally wanted to get a pop-up book for younger members of your family, right? Nieces and nephews.
Yes.
So, and as looking through this, I was thinking about my own kids and how wonderful it is to have this sort of tactile memento of the Freedom Trail, especially in the digital age that we live in. I mean, you've got a map in the back that's a pull-out map that's on paper. And I'm sure that, like, kids 8 and below has hardly ever even seen maps on paper. I mean, was that meaningful to you? Was that important to you to have something that kids could get their hands on?
For children to be able to open it up and feel the paper, I feel like it makes it more meaningful than an app that they might look at as they're walking through Boston. I think that is why I appreciate pop-ups so much. It's because they're all hand-done. Every piece is glued together by a human being. It's one of the last mass-produced by-hand products.
So where were your books actually made then, if they're made by hand, all of them?
I had them produced in Vietnam.
In Vietnam.
Yes.
Okay, so I imagine you're on the phone with the bookmaker in Vietnam saying, I don't know, the bowsprit or the jib boom. The jib boom on the Constitution isn't folding right?
Yes, and so I was able to work with them closely, with the team in Vietnam, to help translate and make the files come to three-dimensional life.
Did doing this project change your feelings or your understanding about the Freedom Trail? Did it connect you to that place in a new way?
I'll never be able to walk the Freedom Trail again without looking at it differently and having a different appreciation for everybody that works to maintain these buildings. It's a difficult job. It's a thankless job.
Well, the stewards of the Freedom Trail have received a big thank you with the Freedom Trail pop-up book of Boston. Denise Price is the author, paper engineer, and illustrator behind the new book. She was talking with my co-host, Meghna Trockerbarty. You can find more information about it at our website, radioboston.org. Finally today, we need to say goodbye to a good friend and colleague here at Radio Boston. For the past several years, Alex Kingsbury has been an important part of what makes WBUR tick. Alex joined WBUR as a producer for On Point for the past 2+ years. He's been an integral part of the Radio Boston team. Having covered stories from Boston to Baghdad, he brought us deep experience and knowledge of local and world events. He's a smart, keen observer of the news, never fooled by the hype of public officials. We'll miss his ideas, his wit, and his calm, steady presence on our staff. And the WBUR softball team will miss his bat. And we'll forgive our friends at the Boston Globe for poaching him. And let's just say our loss is definitely their gain. We'll take solace in the fact that he won't be going far. So, Alex, good luck, stay in touch, and thank you. And that's it for today and this week. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Amory Sievertson, Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, and Alex Kingsbury. We received help today from Jake Lucas. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend and join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.